Welcome into Who's Gonna Win for week three of the high school football season. I'm Jim Field. Be joined by the rest of the gang here in just a moment. I want to thank our sponsors for our program again this week, the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic and Ag Business Associates. We'll have Who's Gonna Win right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishna Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishna Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we continue our weekly countdown of... we don't know anything. Who are we kidding? It's our weekly guess is all it is. Matt Mullinex, Doug Leonard, Chris Parks, I'm Jim Field. We're all here with you again this week. Last week was a little better. Last week, everybody went 6-2, except Chris. Chris went 5-3 last week, continuing to struggle a little bit. You just got to 500 now for the year.
Yeah, this title defense is proving a little tougher this year for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Jameis, you better get yourself started here pretty soon or you're not going to be able to defend that title. Yeah, 6-2 for Doug, for Matt, and for me. Chris, 5-3. And here's how we did that, by the way, last week. Cam and Exira hooked up. We all took Exira EHK, and that was a good thing. They won 76-12. Also, Griswold beat Clarinda Academy 74-26. We all picked Griswold. We all got that right. AHSTW knocked out Tri-Center 47-0. And that was a winner for Doug and for me. Nice pick, Doug. IKM Manning beat Audubon 33-7. That was a winner for Matt and for Chris. Also last week, we had Riverside and Red Oak. It was Red Oak winning 39-0. We all picked Red Oak and got that one right. We all took St. Albert over Trainer, and that's the way it played out. 35-13, St. Albert a winner. It was Clarinda beating Creston 36-27, and that was a limb pick for me that came through. And then Denison and Atlantic, it was 25-20, Atlantic picking up the win, and that was a winner for both Matt and for Doug. So again, 6-2 for both Doug and Matt, so they stay tied at 11-5 atop the pile. I'm a game back at 10-6 after a 6-2 week, and Chris is at 8-8 after a 5-3 week. You only lost 18 games all last year.
I'm going to have to go on some undefeated runs here.
I'm sure you probably will. You're just starting with a little handicap, just to make it fair, you know.
Sandbagging a little bit. Well, let's take a look at the games. We put 8 games on our list each and every week from around the area, and we guess who's going to win. That's how we came up with the name of the show. We've got Stanton on the road at Cam. Just 1 8-man game on our list this week, and that's it. Well, let's see. Matt, did you start first last week? I think you did. Let's go with Doug first this week, since he's the other top dog here.
Well, you know, Stanton is sporting a 0-2 record this year. They lost to Guthrie Center, and I think they've proven to be a pretty good 8-man team this year. And then they lost to Lamoni. They have had some pretty decent offensive production, Stanton has. But, you know, Cam is going to be coming off of that loss last week. They'll be smarting from the margin of victory there a little bit. And I think at home, Cam is going to take this one.
Okay, that's one for the Cougars. Chris Parks, what do you like?
I want to make it 2 for the Cougars. I think that Cam has some nice players. They were able to do a few things against Xyre EHK's defense last week. Had a few near misses, too, with some little pop passes over the top. They've got a nice setup there, and I think they'll be a team that'll be fine to compete with other teams. It's just Xyre EHK is on a whole different level than a lot of teams around here. So, you know, not they can, of course, got to remember that a little bit, but, you know, put it in the back of your mind, move on, and we'll see how the Cougars respond. But I think they can get a win here against Stanton.
Okay, that's 2 for the Cougars. I'm going to make it 3. Stanton, so far in their 2 games, they gave up 366 yards on the ground to Guthrie Center and 329 yards rushing to Lamoni. So I have just 3 words for Cam: run the ball. If you do that, it looks like you'll be successful against Stanton right now, unless they get things closed up a little bit. So I'm going to take the Cougars as well. Matt?
And with that said, Stanton on the other side, though, they've put up some big numbers offensively as well. They've scored 26 points in both games, a little over 600 yards. But I don't think they've played quite the quality of competition that Cam has. They're going to have a bounce-back week here for them. And Stanton is a very young ball club, too. They've only got one senior, everybody else underclassmen. So I'm going to go with the Cougars at home, homecoming week.
All right, straight across the board. Everybody likes the Cougars to have a happy homecoming here tonight. Let's move on to game two then. We'll move into 11-man football. It's Griswold at Audubon. If they were playing conferences, it would be a Western Iowa Conference matchup. As it is, it's a matchup of teams that have started 1-1. Chris, who wins?
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup. Both teams have had losses early here in the season. Griswold lost the opening week there to Bedford. Bedford went on and played well the next week also. Audubon, that nice opening week win against AHSTW, and then they played a very tough IKM Manning team last week. Hung with them for quite a bit of that game. It wasn't until late that IKM Manning really started to pull away. So I think defensively they've got enough to hold people down for a while, especially when they get on, you know, like a similar talent levels. Trevor Smith, a great quarterback there. He hasn't had the success so far through the air that he's experienced in the past, but I think he's a good running a quarterback as well, so he can do some things both ways. Griswold's got a couple of nice players also, but I think that Audubon's played pretty well against some tough competition here earlier in the year. I'm going to take the Wheelers.
Okay, very good. Well, the Wheelers did give up 168 yards rushing to Sam Wagner last week, which was down from his first week performance, but still, they only had 220 total yards themselves against IKM Manning in that loss last week. They need more out of Jake Mulford and Trevor Smith. Those are the guys that are supposed to be leading them. Griswold, you know, they had 170 rushing yards against Bedford. They lit them up for 424 rushing yards last week for against Clarinda Academy. Caleb Schaff had over 240 of those himself. So, you know, there's some offensive power there if they can get things to happen right. But Audubon at home, I think, is going to be a tough task for Griswold this week. I think this will be closer than maybe we thought at the beginning of the season, but I do like the Wheelers at home. Matt?
Well, this is a tough game to call here. But one thing I want to point out is that Griswold, they've actually got four touchdown passes is unusual for them. Yeah. You know, everything's done on the ground.
The season,
so
yeah.
In the first two games so far. And you know, they've put up obviously some bigger numbers than Audubon. Offense is kind of taking a little time to roll, but you know, Griswold, the academy last week's not always sometimes the most formidable opponent to go up against. So with that said, I'm just going to give a little bit of the edge to Audubon with that home field advantage, and they've played a couple of tough games here early on, so I think they're going to be a little more battle-tested.
Okay, that's three for Audubon. Doug, is it a sweep?
Yeah, I can't mix it up too much. I think Audubon's, you know, they had a little disappointing performance from their offense last week. I think IKM Manning's a formidable foe, and they'll get that offensive scheme going a little bit better, and probably a tight game, but I'm going to take the Wheelers.
Okay, well, that's four in a row then for Audubon here in game number two on our list. That's how we do it. We got two games in, six games left to go. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on who's going to win right after this.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishna Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishna Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back on Who's Gonna Win for week three of the high school football season. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Our next game on our list is a pretty good one. St. Albert playing on the road at Logan Magnolia. A couple of class are a couple of teams that are 2-0 on the early part of the season, a couple of teams that are ranked right up at the top five in their class, and a couple of teams that have had some pretty good battles over the years, too. Pretty interesting matchup here tonight. I was looking at Logan Magnolia's numbers from their first couple of games. In game one against Missouri Valley, they had 8 different runners carry the ball. 10 different runners carried the ball last week against Underwood. So they have a lot of success on the ground. You know, a lot of times we look at St. Albert and think, boy, it's just, you know, they play up all the time. They play some pretty good football. They have some great athletes and all. But, you know, St. Albert's success largely has depended on turnovers so far this year. They have 12 turnovers that they have, or takeaways that they've come up with this year. 8 interceptions, 4 fumble recoveries, 6 in each of their first 2 games. I just don't see them having that kind of success. If your success is predicated on taking the ball away, I think Logan Magnolia is the wrong game to really put the onus on that. This might be a bit of a risk, but I'm going to go with Logan Magnolia playing at home in this one this week. I like them to secure the football and maybe pick up that win. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I have written down that this is the defense of St. Albert versus the offense of Logan Magnolia there, definitely. They've put up some big numbers on both sides there. St. Albert, they lost their tailback a week ago, and so they had to move their fullback to tailback for last week's game. He made a nice adjustment in there and played very well. But I still think St. Albert just hasn't got things going. And, yeah, they have relied on their defense early on here. But with this game being up at Logan and the way things have, you know, this Logan's supposed to have a pretty decent year. I'm going to go with maybe a mild upset, I guess, if you will, with the Panthers at home, Logan Magnolia.
And there goes my limb pick right out of the
box. And of all teams, I picked Loma.
Of all of them, yeah.
I don't know.
Big fan, huh?
I must have a
purple
fever.
Purple and gold. I thought you were a purple and gold fan.
Well, not for that team in the South.
Oh, I gotcha.
I guess.
What do you like, Doug?
The old Harrison County rivalries there. Yeah, they never died.
No, they don't. Really.
Yep. Well, I like everything you guys said about Loma, but to me, it's still St. Albert, and, you know, they found a way to generate some offense this, you know, first couple games, and I think they can. I'm taking the Falcons.
Okay. Not a bad limb pick, if that's what it ends up being. I guess it's up to Chris. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, this is a really tough game to call. You got a couple of guys that are running the ball for Logan Magnolia that are averaging over 10 yards per carry, and both Brady Charbonneau and Riley Wohlers, and they've been able to rack up some good touchdown runs with that as well. But I'm kind of with Doug here. Until St. Albert falls off the peg, it's hard to pick against them, and I'm going to give them credit for those turnovers, because that's how they've always played football. They're not going to wow you with a lot of statistics from anybody out there individually. They're going to play team ball and play good team defense, and it seems like that's what they're doing again. So I'm going to take St. Albert.
Okay, even split, 2-2. Logan Magnolia, St. Albert here in Game 3. Game 4, Trainer is at IKM Manning. 0-2 for Trainer, 2-0 for IKM Manning. What happens here tonight, Matt?
Oh, I think IKM Manning runs wild. Wagner left, Wagner right. He's been their main ball carrier there for them. And Trainer, they've just kind of struggled to get the offense even going here in these first couple games, so I'm going to go with the IKM Manning.
Okay. Doug, what do you like?
Wolves.
That's it? That's all you got?
I mean, Trainer has been able to move the ball a little bit through the air, but IKM Manning looks really salty this year, so I'm going to take the Wolves.
Okay. That's 2. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, Trainer definitely has been putting the ball in the air a lot. As their stats show online, they've got 67 pass attempts already in just a couple of games, but they have thrown 7 interceptions as well. So can be a little risky sometimes if you're playing some tough competition. IKM Manning's just shown that they're a good, solid overall team. It's hard to stop Sam Wagner, obviously, and I give them the advantage. I'm taking IKM Manning.
All right. Well, I'm going to make that a clean sweep across the board, too, and I pointed the same thing, too. You know, Nate Hill, a nice athlete, a quarterback for Trainer, but he's having to try to do too many things and throw the ball around the yard way too much. 3 touchdowns, 7 picks, and, you know, throwing for under a 50% average. To me, when you have to spread the field and open things up like that, it usually tells me that you don't have enough athletes in other positions to be able to go toe-to-toe with somebody. So I don't like that. Sam Wagner, averaging almost 11 yards a carry. That's a first down every time he touches the ball, in case you were wondering. Hard to stop that. So, yeah, I like IKM Manning also. Trainer 0-3. Boy, several years ago, we never thought we'd have seen that, but it's kind of become more common here in the last few years. We'll see. Pretty good matchup here in Game 5 on our list. Clarinda on the road at AHSTW. Douglas, first crack at it. What do you like?
Well, you know, HSTW lost opening week, close game to Audubon, you know, which was a tight ball game. Came back last week and really got the offense going against Tri-Center. But, you know, Clarinda impressed me. I picked Creston last week to beat them, and I wanted to see how they were going to perform against the athletes that Creston has, and they were able to move the ball on Creston. And, you know, I think Clarinda is going to, you know, I think what they need to kind of guard against maybe is the fact they played some bigger towns first couple weeks and then, you know, going to play, you know, a little bit more into their class and smaller towns. I you know, don't want to get too cocky and think, oh, we're just going to show up and run the ball down their throats. But they have that offense humming, and I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Okay, one for the Cardinals. Chris?
Yeah, if you look at Clarinda, you know, we've talked in the past about watching individual, you know, yards per carry meters. We might have to do it for the entire Clarinda team. They've got guys, three different guys that are averaging, you know, over 14 yards per carry. They've been shown so far this season that they're prone to the big play, and they continue to do that against Creston because they got down early in that game 14-0, rattled off two long touchdown runs to get right back in it, tied it up at 14.5. So pretty impressive. I was really impressed with that win. And it looks like Corinda's on pace to have a really nice season. AHSTW is a nice team, too. They picked up a nice victory that I didn't expect them to win as big as they did last week. But I think Clarinda's tough. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Okay, that is two for the Cardinals. I'm going to make it three for Clarinda. You know, they're averaging in their first two games right around 425 yards rushing. That's going to shock you when I tell you about some statistics later on in some of our other games. AHST, they need to run and they need to stop the run, and that's what they need to do. But I just think there are too many horses with Clarinda. They do have a lot of guys they can depend on, and I just like the Cardinals to get started here in district play with a win. Matt?
Yeah, I'll make it another clean sweep across the board here for us in our picks. Yeah, we've thrown out numbers, but if you can average 10 yards a play, obviously you're going to win some ball games. So, and Clarinda's doing that. And, yeah, they'll just have too many guys out there that HSTW just won't be able to keep up.
Well, they play good defense, too. They fly around pretty good on defense. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys that are their lead rushers on offense are guys that are some of their leading tacklers on defense. They're very mobile. Good ball game. Good matchup. Should be a fun game. Red Oak is on the road at Shenandoah here in Game 6 on our list here tonight. A couple of old rivals, old Hawkeye 10 teams battling off against one another. Chris, who wins this one?
I think the Tigers have the advantage here in this one. I like what Brock Isaacson, the running back down at Red Oak, has been able to do. He had a big week last week. He's averaging almost 10 yards per carry. He's picked up a couple touchdowns in that two-game span. They were able to move the offense a little bit as well against Glenwood in that first week game. So I've been impressed by what they've been able to do offensively. Shenandoah, they're trying a few different things. Running back Andrew Gray has been their leader, but they haven't kind of averaged the same type of offensive production week in and week out, and I think they're still kind of working towards rebuilding that program. So I'm going to go with Red Oak here.
Kind of odd this early in the season, but they actually do have a common opponent already in Riverside. Shenandoah opened with them, and Red Oak played them last week. Both of them had a lot of success against Riverside, but, boy, they really piled up a lot of rushing yards. I think over 440 rushing yards last week against Riverside. And even on the road in that opener against Clarinda, you mentioned Isaacson. He ran for over 100 yards in that ball game too. I think Red Oak's got just a little more steam right now than Shenandoah, so I'm going to go with the Tigers as well. Matt?
Yeah, I think they got a little better defense than Shenandoah has. You know, they'll play strong defense, and they control the ball very well with their running game. They've got a lot of rushes on the season. So, you know, they just like to keep it on the ground and get, as they say, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So I'm going to go with the Tigers on the road.
All right, that's three. Doug, how do you see this one?
Well, same thing. I mean, they just Red Oak's going to run the ball, and unless, you know, they have – any kind of injuries to Isaacson, I think Tigers are going to win.
All right, well, that's three games in a row now. We've really not done anything to nudge the pile here. It's been a clean sweep the last three in a row. Everybody likes Red Oak over Shenandoah. We have two games left to take a look at, and of course we'll have our ultimate tiebreaker coming up yet before we finish this week, and we will take a look at those when we come back on Who's Going to Win right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishtha Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Back now on Who's Going to Win, and we've got two games left in the high school schedule here to take a look at this week before we dive into our tiebreaker, so let's keep moving. Next game up, Lewis Central on the road at Harlan this week. I think I get first crack at that one. I like Lewis Central. I'm going to tell you right out of the gate, I'm taking Lewis Central here in this ball game this week because I really like the play of their quarterback so far. You know, we talked about some of the numbers and stuff, throwing the football and how it leads to some issues sometimes, that ball flying around out there. But Austin Simmons is a pretty solid quarterback for Lewis Central right now. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, not a single interception so far this year. He's hitting on 63% of his passes. He's leading the offense. He has the ability to run as well. I like what Lewis Central's been doing here early on. Harlan, wow, what was that last week? 42-7 they lost to Carroll. Harlan in their two games so far this year have 400 total yards. They have averaged 200 yards, total yards, per game. As we mentioned, some of those big numbers from some individual kids earlier this year. In the program, Harlan's not even averaging what some of these individual kids are averaging per game. I'm not sure what's going on. They don't seem to have a go-to right now, and they have struggled. And if it wasn't for all the turnovers, that game against Denison would have been a lot closer, too. I like Lewis Central in this ballgame. I just think they're playing just a little bit more solid brand of football right now. Matt?
Well, I remember watching Austin Simmons, Lewis Central's quarterback, last year, and he's a very good quarterback, very good ball handler back there. Runs the offense very efficiently, and of course, another year under his belt, and here he is this year doing very, very well. So I like Lewis Central in this ball game, but you can't count Harlan out for the year. The big advantage that they have is that these first three ball games for them are all non-district, so they get to work the kinks out here in these first few ball games before they hit district play, and you know, I'm sure they're definitely getting those kinks worked out this week. Coach Blatt was definitely not satisfied with that. So, but they do have some work to do. They do. You know, Jules only passing 36% or completing 36%. That's, you know, unacceptable up there. So, and like you said, Jim, they've only 400 total yards of offense two games. So they've got some work to do, and Lewis Central isn't going to help their cause this week, I don't think. They're an awfully tough ball team.
All right. Well, that's two of us for Lewis Central. Doug, what do you like?
This is an odd season, isn't it? With Harlan, you know, picking with Harlan, but you know, I'm sure Coach Blatt is kind of dreading this week as well. Faced a really good quarterback last week for Carroll and Addison Ross, who's been getting you know, some college attention. I'm sure Austin Simmons probably is as well. Simmons, as you said, has shown. I think the first week against Sergeant Bluff, he threw the ball a lot. Last week they didn't throw it as much against Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln, but they were able to run the ball, and he had over 80 yards rushing too. So he's a talented player, and I think LC is going to win.
Okay, that's three. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, it seems like we've been talking about Austin Simmons for an awful long time. He was playing, you know, even as early as a sophomore, and kind of sharing duties with Alex Reed when he was there, and he's just continued to get better. He's a great pocket passer, and he's shown this year that he's been really, really efficient. Hasn't made mistakes, and it's tough to beat any team that's you know, playing that well. Yeah, that was a head turner last week for Harlan. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Maybe thought the potential for them to lose that game, but not in the way that it happened. So it's pretty surprising, and it you know, maybe tells a little bit about how teams are stacking up against each other around the district and around the Hawkeye 10 conference. So we'll see how it plays out later on. But I like Lewis Central in this game. I think they're a tough team. They'll get the win.
All right, that's four across the board for Lewis Central over Harlan this week. Last game we have on our list is our broadcast game tonight, Atlantic on the road at Glenwood. Each of these teams 1-1 on the early part of the season. Matt Mullinex, you get first look at this one.
Well, going back to Harlan, about the time we all picked Lewis Central, all four of us, we've done that before, and who ends up winning Harlan, so yeah. We probably just...
We jinxed the Titans.
We did. We jinxed them. Sorry, LC fans. All right, Atlantic, Glenwood this week. Glenwood 1-1 coming in, but they've played some pretty decent ball game in these first couple of games. They've put up over 700 yards of total offense and scored 12 touchdowns. So it's definitely going to come down to Atlantic's defense and how they respond this week. I think offensively showed some good signs of moving the ball last week and definitely have some options that are yet to be tapped out there offensively that they can open things up with. So I think you might see some of that this week. But it'll just be a matter of containing that Glenwood offense because their defense has definitely shown some signs that they can be scored upon. So it's going to be a very, very tough ball game back and forth, I think, a little bit. Boy, this is a tough one. I think there's some momentum there for the Trojans, so I'm going to go with Atlantic on the road.
Okay, that's one for Atlantic. Doug, what do you like?
Yeah, I was impressed with the way the Trojans came out last week. I think, you could kind of see later on in that game with a number of players that they have that are going both ways, especially their big guys. I think there was a little fatigue setting in at the end, and Dennison really hurt its own cause as well because they had quite a few turnovers. I thought, Glenwood, Matt mentioned the offense, but, last week they got four turnovers from TJ, and I think that certainly helped them be able to score against Counts-Palouse. But, I agree with Matt. I think Atlantic maybe has kind of gotten that mojo going, and hopefully it can win on the road.
All right. It's two for Atlantic. Chris, what do you like?
All right. My yearly predicament, where I live or where I'm from. It's always a fun, interesting game, and I think it'll be a good game here this year.
What is your home address there, Chris, so we can stop by?
We won't publish that.
Okay.
Okay. Broadcast that one. The Glenwood Rams had a tough loss last week, a double overtime loss. You lose the extra point. That's a tough way to go out. And I think they've got some good athletes there, but it is a lot of youth, at least in experience-wise. There are a lot of guys that haven't seen the field until this season there for Glenwood, so they're kind of got a little bit of a changing of the guard there. But I think what Coach Faust has done down there has really changed the attitude of the players. They really seem to be buying into the system a little bit better than it has been in the past. And Glenwood was impressed by Atlantic's win last week, but, of course, we saw some other games that little surprised us in relation to that also. So Atlantic, give them credit for hanging on and winning down the stretch. I think Glenwood's got a little bit more out there as far as the production is concerned, so I'm going to go with the Rams.
Okay. I'm going to make it two in a row for the Rams then, too. I'm going to take Glenwood as well. Atlantic's, they've got to get more production out. They got to get production out of somebody not named Joey Walker. I mean, you look at numbers week after week after week, and there's just not much coming out of anything not named Joey. And quite frankly, Glenwood's got he's a young kid, the Wilberding boy at quarterback. He's a sophomore, but he can throw a little. He can run a little. They've got an enormous line. They have a lot of big bodies out there. Glenwood's got a lot of kids on the roster, and they got a lot of kids with size, and a lot of their experience is actually in their line. So, I don't know. I like Glenwood in this one at home. I think there's going to be too much. Unless Atlantic can find some other ways to move that football, I think Glenwood at home is a tough pick to pass up. So I'm going to go with the Rams. All right, now that takes us to our annual tiebreaker. If we're tied at the end of the year, we never figure out how in the world we break the tie because somebody's got to take home that coveted trophy, the Hoosman Trophy. So we always go with the Iowa State game. So off we go running here. Let's see. It was Let's let Chris go first on this one. He's the defending champ, and this is the tiebreaker, so let's let him get first crack. Not that there are a lot of surprises on how this game gets picked each and every year. But
seems like it's always 2-2, yeah. doesn't it?
But let's see what we got here, Chris.
I'm betting you can guess how I'm going to pick, but tough one last week for the Cyclones. That's a tough way to go down. They played a really good game against a pretty decent Kansas State team. Iowa struggled as well. I think it's always interesting. It seems like every year these two teams, the way that they're where they're strong at is where they match up opposite. So I think Iowa State's offense will have the advantage. I think Iowa's offense will have the advantage when those units are on the field. So it'll be an interesting game, but I think Iowa State's going to pull a few more tricks out of the old Mangino hat and get the victory here. So I'm taking the Cyclones. I'll go with 41 total points.
Iowa State and 41. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Iowa. I'm sure that's a huge surprise to you. And, after the first week of the season, I was thinking it was going to be about 35-10 Iowa. And after the second week of the season, after last week, I'm thinking 24-21. And I'm not sure which way it goes, but I'm just going to stick with that number and go put 45 points down. That's probably going to be low the way it's going to turn out, but that's what I'll throw out there. Matt, what do you like?
All right, I'll go with Iowa, and I'll say 59 points.
Ooh. Putting some points on the board.
Hey, you saw what you and I did to them. So
that's true.
It's like I said, Iowa State can move the ball, and they got special teams, you know, going for them, so.
I was going to bring in a soccer player and try to kick that ball.
Yeah.
They're going for two every time. Hope you get 50% of them.
Against Iowa State, they probably would. I'll pick Iowa State, and I'm going to say, how many points did you pick there, Mullinex?
I went 59.
All right.
Now, you picked a different team to win,
I know, so the points
don't really matter. If you want to pick 59, you can.
No, I'm going to pick 42.
42. All right. Very good. So that's our tiebreaker. Well, best of luck, gentlemen. We'll see how things play out tomorrow and, of course, tonight here with all these high school matchups as well. Thanks for joining us here, as you do each and every week. We thank our sponsors, Nishtha Valley Credit Union here in Atlantic, as well as Ag Business Associates here in Atlantic. For Chris Parks, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us. Atlantic at Glenwood pregame coming up for you next here on KJAN.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishtha Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.